can encourage him. Clearly, you're speaking and I'm not today. Let's pray. So God, I pray for Louis. Thank you for this man. Thank you for his heart, for the story that he has, for the way that he reflects you, the way that I see Jesus in his eyes. And I thank you for the hold and the grip that you have on this man, and that he has a deep love for the Father. I pray that his words today would just flow from heaven to us today. Give him confidence. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to just touch the chords in our hearts today. In Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, is that working? Okay. I'm going to go back, and I can't tell you my whole life story because that would take about, well, longer than we have. But one of the things that I am going to say is that without God, I wouldn't be here today. And actually, more than one time in my life, probably several times. So I just give him all the glory, and I'm here now because of him. So, amen. All right, well, I'm going to start off. I grew up in Alberta. I didn't come from a Christian home. It was a very troubled home that I grew up in. We didn't really know about God. There was no going to church or anything like that. It was just something you saw on TV. And so basically, after my mom and dad got a divorce, I went out and worked for Alberta Transportation as I got out of high school. I worked on a road crew. It was very hard work. It was making the guardrail alongside the highways. I did that for about 6 years. In that time, fortunately or unfortunately, I was making more money than my school teachers. So what I found and learned through that lesson was that sometimes money can help you and sometimes it can be a huge hindrance. If you don't have direction in your life, money is not going to do you any good. In fact, it's going to take you down the wrong path. Absolutely, yeah. So I did the road crew for a while, and then I got involved in the martial arts. I was a martial arts instructor in Taekwondo. I did that for about 20 years. I had lots of interests. I traveled. I was a backyard mechanic with my dad. We rebuilt Mustangs. I liked to travel to the United States. I went down to Florida 5 or 6 times within about 4 or 5 years. I've been to 38 states in total. I just kept on, you know, wandering around. I had this Mustang and a bunch of money in my pocket, so I drove all over the place and got into a little bit of trouble. But I found that something was missing. There was a big emptiness there. It didn't matter where I went. The next place I went, it was like, oh, it's going to be there. Well, yeah, it was nice, but then it was like, okay, it gets old. Then you go somewhere else. And then things, you know, I've had Mercedes Benzes, I've had a Porsche, I've had things that money will bring you. Nope, it's fun for a while, it's nice, there's nothing wrong with having things, but when you put things above God, then there's a problem. And I find that this world is so materialistic, and what I like to quote is, the meek are going to inherit the earth, not the poor. So you don't have to be impoverished to be a Christian. That's a fallacy. But you have to be humble and poor in spirit. So what you have to do is you take your things and you say, look at the blessing of God. Look what God can do. That's just my thing. If you want to travel, if you want to lose weight, if you want to, whatever you want to do, God can do it for you. And he's done it for me in my life. Yeah, amen. Okay, so I got into business. I sold cars for a while. And I did that. It was all right. I got into sales. I went down to the United States and I got into some sales of travel discounts. I went to several seminars. I met a lot of really godly people. I didn't know at the time that that's what was helping them be successful. But I thought, okay, these guys are cool. I'll see what's going on here. And I remember I was at a seminar, and the guy said that the power's in the word. And I said, well, yeah, power's in the word, what you speak. He said, no, the word. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, and then he says, let me put it this way. I've read all the positive thinking books. And I don't have to read them now. I have one book. I graduated. I can just read it. Yeah. And me, with all my wisdom, I look over and I go, well, who's the author of this book? I need to get this book. What? And his wife goes, honey, they're talking about the Bible. And I was like, okay, all right. So that's when I learned that it was two meanings, the words you say with your mouth and the Word of God. And so that was where I kind of got that. Then I was in Vancouver, and I was working at doing security at the international airport. I did that for a while. I got really stressed out. I was looking for bombs and guns. It was a stressful job. And all of a sudden, one day, I just felt like I was going to snap, and I couldn't handle the stress anymore. And I said, I need a calmer job. So they put me in an office building. And when I was in that office building, I started to pray, and I said, you know, this is just no good. I'm stressed out. I'm losing weight. I can't do it. And all of a sudden, I prayed, and I said, well, you know what? If the power is in the Word, I'm going to say it right now, and I'm going to ask God to come into my life because I need a change. And all of a sudden, it was like a wind, and it just went right through me, and I was like, okay, what just happened here? So when I did that, I said, okay, what happened to me? When I opened the Bible, the very first time I opened it, I said, God, what did you do to me? I opened it to Ephesians 1:13. In him you also, after hearing the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, after believing in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of his purchased possession. So I went, okay. And when I said, well, what can that do for me? I looked a little further down to Ephesians 1:19, and I literally, this was the first two sentences I saw in the Bible. What happened? That's what happened. What can I do? What is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? And so I said, all right, sounds good. So that was powerful. Then we'll fast forward up to 1995. I decided to get a job driving cab. I was driving cab, and I still had an emptiness. I had God, but I was missing something. So I prayed, and I thought, well, I'll just pray, and maybe God will give me an answer. And I remember walking into the dispatch office and slamming my hand down on the counter because the guy had said to me, you know, a lot of guys meet their wives driving cab. And I remember how sure I was, and I pounded the counter, and I said, I guarantee you that's not going to happen to me. Well, that's exactly what happened to me. So what do I know? So anyway, I was driving. Janice, my wife, I didn't know this yet, but she had taken a cab exactly twice in her life. She phoned to pick up her roommate's car, who'd left it down at the Red Deer Lodge. I went down, and I picked her up. We were going down to the Red Deer Lodge. I was talking. She was listening. And when I got to Red Deer Lodge, she wasn't getting out of the car. And so believe it or not, I was running out of things to say. So I just basically thought, you know, there's a connection here. There's something. God's answered a prayer here. This is a woman for me. But I had to be professional. So I didn't ask her any information. She left. And I drove around for 2 days. And it turned out that after that 2 days of driving around, I just said, well, I messed it up. God, I need another chance. And I spoke with my mouth as I was driving down gates out loud in the car. God, if I had another chance to meet her, I would get her phone number and I'd go on a date with her. I drove into the CIBC just north of the Parkland Mall. She came walking out the front doors. Within 1 minute, yeah. I was speechless. I rolled down the window and she said, I had the strongest feeling I should have given you my number the other day. So that was bong, you know, so okay. So we went out to the Club Cafe, our first date, and we ended up getting married in October of 96. Yeah. So we fast forward 21 years later, and things are going along. I've been working in the security business. Janice worked in fine dining for many years. You know, we were in Red Deer. Her family's here. I have family in Pinoca. Things are going along good. I'm working out at Schlumberger doing security in the end of 2017. And what happened was I was going to work. I'd worked 39 hours in 3 nights. And I was a little tired. and I drove off the road. I totaled the SUV, I fractured my T9 vertebrae, my L5 vertebrae, I broke 5 ribs. It took 5 paramedics to get me out. They took me to the Royal Alexandra. I was in the Royal Alexandra for 9 days. My surgery was 12 on the team, orthopedic surgeon, neurosurgeon. During the surgery, which was supposed to be an hour and a half, it was 6 hours. I died on the table for a minute and a half. When I actually left, people say, well, what happened? Can you, you know, I say, yes, something definitely did happen. I know God's real now because he talked to me. And what happened was I wasn't in heaven, but I was on the way. It was a white light. And the reason I know it wasn't a dream, the reason I know it wasn't real, I got a lot going on. I didn't want to come back. I was at total peace. I didn't want to come back here. And I said, well, what are you doing? Are you taking me? And God said, I have taken you, my son. And I said, okay, well, well, is it my time? He said, no, it's not your time yet. And I said, well, then what do you have to tell me? He said, I'm here to tell you that everything that you've worked for, everything that you've strived for, everything that has not been fruitful for you and your wife, I'm about to return it 1,000-fold. And I said, well, that sounds good. So, and then I opened my eyes. And it was 8 o'clock at night, and I went in for surgery at 8 in the morning. So, at that point, things got a lot worse. Way worse. I'd basically been destroyed financially. I got hooked on pain pills because I was in such severe pain. I basically had a lot of rage and anger. Janice at that point left. I didn't have any money left. I didn't have a vehicle. I lost my place to live. I was walking around at minus 30 with a broken back with my uncle's coat that he gave me because I got discharged a day early and nobody could pick me up from the hospital. So he had to come and get me because he lives in Edmonton. So having been in that place, but having a really strong will from martial arts and past, and having a strong faith, I just kept putting one foot in front of the other. And I remember the physiotherapist guy saying, do you need a walker? And by the second day, I was walking without it because it hurt like I've never hurt before. But I said, I don't need a walker. I've got God. So thank you. Yeah. And he just went, what? So that was a witness. At that point, I was just praying really hard, pressing into God, reading the Bible. And I just said, you know what? I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to believe you, God, that you're going to restore all this. And you say the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he had no sorrow to it. And I'm going to believe on that. Basically, we had a lot of people praying for us, lots of prayers in that time. Did you just want to say something real quick, Janice? Okay. All right. In that time, I was very hard on my wife as well. She might comment on that. Anyway, I just prayed for restoration, and by the time 2018 midnight came, it was absolute clear restoration. Now, I did come to the church. I thank Tim. I thank Al. I had some personal issues to work out. They helped me with it, and that was a blessing. But you know what? I had people praying for me. I thank everybody that was praying for me, and the power of God just started working, and all of a sudden, everything came back. Stroke of midnight. The next day, my uncle called me from Texas. He's with Mobil Exxon. He said, you didn't call me. I said, okay, well, I didn't want to be that guy. He said, what do you need? I want to buy you a vehicle. I said, okay, take care of that. He gave me some money, took care of that. My medical EI, which was held up for 2.5 months, and I wasn't getting money because my company didn't forward the paperwork, got that. Went and had breakfast with Janice. She came back. You know, what can I say? It was God. And we'd been on our honeymoon in Vancouver. I said, let's go on a second honeymoon. God was just blessing us with thousands of dollars. We had a vehicle. We'd got the place, thanks to Stan. And we just went. And we went to Vancouver, 2 weeks, first class all the way. We stayed at the Prestige Hotel in Salmon Arm. We stopped in Hope because the snow wouldn't let us go any further. And we went to Vancouver, had a great time. And we came back, and I asked God on the way back, I said, can this really be restored this fast when I had absolutely nothing? And I said, I need a sign, God, and right from going from Chilliwack to Hope, I said, give me a sign, God, and you're not supposed to test God, but I tested him. And I looked out the window, and there was a bald eagle flying beside the car. And so I was like, yeah, hallelujah, all right. And so it was amazing. So I think that's about 9 minutes, eh? Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, I just want to finish with one thing. I just want to say I have to read this because this is the key. Let me find it here. Here it is. Okay. All right. Well, all I can say is that I knew God was with me, and he'll be with any of you if you just don't give up. You just have to keep going, keep putting one foot in front of the other. And I know I'm a little over the time, but I got to read this. Because if you have this, you have everything. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the hunter and from the deadly pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you shall find protection. His faithfulness shall be your shield and wall. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that pursues in darkness, nor of the destruction that strikes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only you with your eyes shall behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling. There shall be no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your tent. For he shall give his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent shall be trampled underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and deliver him. And honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Jesus. Thank you.
No, come here, give me that. Thanks, Sam. Was that encouraging? Praise God.